again.
Hi, this is Jane in Pennsylvania.
Oh, hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi, May.
Thank you for welcoming me. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday call. Would you like to announce yourself?
John from Las Vegas.
Northern Minnesota.
Hi, John from Las Vegas. And somebody from Northern Minnesota. And who else?
Dharmananda.
Hi, Dharmananda. Welcome.
Hi.
And who else?
Hi.
And welcome to Falling Out Deb.
I'll tell you, my phone has given me nothing but fits and giggles.
Oh, good.
So welcome to everybody, and glad you're all here. Hi, Cecil. Welcome.
Thank you. I actually remembered that Wednesday was Wednesday.
I guess we are, Antonio. That's great. I'm just so glad. And again, welcome to the callers on the BBS radio, and we appreciate you being here. I'm glad you're with us. I have had nothing but issues tonight, and hello, Prudy. I finally got in and was able to stay in this time.
Yay. All right. I'm not in either. Great.
I have had issues, but I have the console running, and I was just going to text you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and your location?
I'm Wolf. I'm in the Lincoln, Delaware area.
I'm sorry. What was your name again?
Wolf. W-O-L-F. And okay. I'm in the Lincoln, Delaware area.
Okay, Wolf. Well, welcome, and glad you're here. Is this your first time?
No, it's not, actually.
Okay, well, awesome, then. Glad you made it.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. And welcome to the next caller. Would you like to say your names and location?
Positive greetings from Sedona, Deb. Hi, Don.
Hi, Raiden. Welcome. And hi, Don. Welcome.
Hi, Northern Ohio. Hi, Raiden. Hi, Deb. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Antonio. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. How about you?
All right. Pretty good. Hanging in there.
So what happened to Hayes today?
He had something going on, probably with his kids.
Yeah, good for him.
Yes, and I am having phone issues, and I couldn't find any of the right numbers, and it was just a whole issue for me. And welcome to Whole Planet Healing. Would you like to say your names and location?
Yes, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry in Dallas. Welcome.
Hello, Dave. Thank you.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie and Citrus Heights. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Antonio.
I'm afraid to move my phone.
So don't.
I know, but I'm holding it. It's not comfortable.
That's okay. We have Prudy here for a backup. And if Prudy drops out, I guess I can take over.
Somebody's got to have a console.
There you go.
And welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hello, everybody. Anna Kentwa.
Hi, Anna and Kentwa.
Hi, Anna.
Welcome.
Hi, Anna. Thank you. Hi there.
That WA is for Washington.
Yeah, Kent Washington.
Just south of me a little ways.
In Seattle?
Yes.
Ah, cool.
So, anyway, we are still waiting for Wynn to get here, and I'm sure he'll be here soon. And Again, I'd like to say welcome to the BBS radio and the call, the listeners on the line. So again, welcome to all of you. And welcome to our callers that have called directly in.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you. My first time here.
Oh, well, great. I didn't realize you hadn't been here before.
Well, it's my first time here in a long time. I always forget. So I always think that Tuesday is Wednesday.
I hear you, Antonio.
Did you say you can't hear me?
No, I said I hear you. I definitely understand that.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Welcome to the Wednesday night call. Would you like to say your names and location?
This is Terry in Sedona.
Hey,
hi, Terry.
Terry.
Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi,
Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi,
Terry.
Hi.
Hey, Terry. It's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, my response was a little first of duty. That one. I'm just kidding.
And Terry, was wind coming on here fairly quick? Yes, it looks like he might be getting out of here.
I thought I heard his heavy breathing.
Well, hopefully he'll be here very quickly. Ken, welcome to the Wednesday night call. Glad you made it. And to the next caller, would you like to announce yourself?
It's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Welcome.
Hello, Wynn. Hey, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hey, Wynn.
And would the next caller like to announce themselves? If not, welcome to the call.
Or as high as you say. Only if you want to.
When BBS Radio is, we're on live, and so. I am going to go ahead and mute the ding.
Okay. Terry, are you on?
What the heck?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let me try this again. My phone is giving me fits and giggles tonight. Okay, looks like it's set.
The dings are muted?
Yes, they're muted.
Okay.
Your recorder going?
No, you know, I'm just getting questions in line, a couple questions in line. But thank you for reminding me. Okay. Who's making all that noise? Let's see here.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This conference is being recorded.
This is March 7th, 2018, with Terry in Sedona. And this is our Wednesday night call where you submit questions and we query our sources. And let's just see. Terry, are you?
Yes.
You're there.
Yeah, I can't find my headset, though, so I have to do it without it today.
You can't find your headset?
I can't find it. I was wearing it most of the day, but I don't know.
All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator, which is all pervasive and all through everything, and a part and parcel of everything. And you also are sovereign. You're co-creators. We come directly to you. We do not come through the telephone line. It's the voice that comes through there, or that we don't come through the computer. We come directly to you, and it is our joy and delight to be with you tonight. If we ever say anything that doesn't resonate with you, disregard it as it is not meant for you at that time. Do you have questions?
Yeah, first question is from Edna. And I would like to ask our sources about time travel. Can we travel back to a past incident or event and observe it? I see myself sometimes being an observer on a past event, and I think nobody involved in the event is aware that I am present and observing it. Thank you.
Yes, it is possible that you can go back in time and bring in all the perceptives and all of the sounds and the visions of what happened before. And sometimes people stumble upon that, like they suddenly find themselves in the middle of a visionary army of Romans, or that has suddenly come to the forefront. It is one reason why it is important to stay in present time, so you do not slide into some past life traumatic incident where then you think that the perceptives of that incident are happening in current time and you no longer are in the now and your behaviors may not be appropriate. So be careful with time travel safeguard yourself if you are going to go into it. Thank you.
How about moving into the future? Now, since the future is being created in the now, some people talk about going into the future, but I don't see how that could actually occur.
Things start to manifest from future reality before they occur in physical reality. And one can get some premonitions for what might happen by observing what is coming in as a premonition and even as a certainty that it will happen. However, if the parameters are changed, if it is in the future, it can still be changed. And if the parameters are changed, then the whole incident will change.
And, of course, this is an old dilemma that's brought up in science fiction movies. But if you are in the past, is it possible to go back into the past and change something so an incident in the future changes?
That is pretty hard, because if you go into the past and you see something in the past that you don't care for, and then you come into the present now and you change your attitude, or you change your outlook on it, it will change the perspective in the now, but it has still happened in the past.
Is Terry not feeling well tonight?
Is what?
Is Terry not feeling well?
She's okay. Go ahead.
If we experience what we believe, and most beliefs are subconscious, how can we change an idea we would like to experience into a belief that will manifest? That was Don Herman.
Would you repeat the question?
If we experience what we believe, and most beliefs are subconscious, how can we change an idea that we would like to experience into a belief that will manifest?
Well, if you are looking into the past and you have a belief in your subconscious mind, then it is pretty hard, since you are not aware of it, since it's in the, say, the unconscious or the subconscious, it is pretty hard to change it, since it is there in underlying mind, since it is then influencing you. Meditation can help you break up what it is that is your belief. You can watch your patterns and watch other people's patterns, and then see if your patterns make sense. To grasp any subconscious or unconscious beliefs that you have that may not be applicable to current time, or you might want to change. Beliefs are very important when you are trying to, could you back up from the mic?
Okay.
Thank you. Beliefs are, can take you by the surprise, as they can be underlying. And they may have been taught to you when you were a child, or they may be society's beliefs, and you may be taking them as a given. Sometimes it is very hard to isolate out what your beliefs are that are of your own manufacture or have been taught, which are holding you back. Observation is important to be able to tell, give you markers where you are at. Okay.
Thank you. Right. Next question is from Dharmananda.
From who?
Dharmananda.
Okay.
My wife is mentally challenged and really needs me to help her. But I am in so much pain now, I cannot take a step without excruciating pain in my hips. I have been calling to you to come into my body and be one with me and to heal it. But I'm not feeling any different. Can you, how can I get help in fixing my hips?
One of the things would be to build your immune system. Give us a moment. It is a difficult situation as you need help yourself. There is a narrow band of alternative people out there that could provide some help. And it would take discretion to be able to choose what it is that can help you, as there are all manner of systems that doctors have that will relieve the pain for a time, but will not get to the core of the problem. We suggest seeing if you can work with some, locate some alternative that makes sense to you. There may be nutrients in your diet that when you add certain nutrients that it can help lubricate the joints. We can do a certain amount of being with you. We will work to some degree to see what we can do. Thank you.
Could somebody like Kimberly help that situation?
One has to be able to potentially travel to see her or to do something on the Skype. And it wouldn't hurt to try.
Excuse me, I was muted. I have a question about soul tones. I had never heard of that before. And recently a friend of mine, soul tones. Soul tones.
Soul tones. Frequencies of the soul. Everyone has a frequency.
And recently a friend of mine brought a didgeridoo, an Australian instrument. Could you please tell us more about soul tones and why it's important to learn which sound resonates with you best?
The soul tones can help develop the body, the chakras, the spinning of the chakras, the connection with the different areas of the body, and can help strengthen one and give one support.
So are there certain frequencies that are good for an individual that would be different for another individual?
The chakras tend to resonate at certain frequencies, so that the Tibetans have it word of which little bells to ring to help increase the strength of the chakra system. The chakras, when they're resonating correctly, follow the tones of the scale. Then they would be the same for person to person. The experiences that a person has had as supplementation to the soul frequencies that a person has and gives each person his original soul signature.
Thank you. Beth asked the question, with all the talk about polar shift, I'm wondering what advice the Elohim would give us in regard to this. Is this something like the seismic activity that can be modified by higher beings so that the impact won't be so detrimental? Is the higher realm able to help us with this in any way, or have any suggestions of the best way to prepare or help ourselves? Thank you.
When you ask what you are asking now, then we can move into position and can help fortify the Earth frequencies and to give them assistance so that they do not shift so suddenly. Consensus reality of the people play a great part in conjunction with the Earth frequencies. Reaches point where a certain fault lines are under so much pressure, or the volcanic actions are under so much pressure, or areas of weakness in the crust are under so much pressure. Weakness in the crust caused by the nuclear explosions that have been done in the past underground and caused by fracking creates weakness in the crust, which then creates a release point for frequencies and changes things. It can even change the area of a major fault line if the fracking has been strong enough to change where the weaknesses in the crust are. But consensus reality and prayer can help us come in and assist.
Thank you. This is from John Siboraski in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Our scriptures have said that it is possible for a being in the astral to pass through any solid on this side. This is one example of something that we cannot do in this world, but only when we are in the astral. Could our sources explain some of the differences in the laws of physics between our 3D world and the astral? What laws of physics are the same in this world as they are in the astral plane? What laws of physics are used in heaven?
Thank you. One has to be careful, because if they are well grounded in the astral and they are maintaining their shape of their soul matrix, and they have their anchor points together, and then they may experience a very unpleasant shock when an asteroid hits them, or when a boat hits them, or something that they expected to pass clear through, and their attention and focus is still so much in the astral, and their anchor points are so connected with the astral that the hitting of an object, or the object hitting them, can knock their anchor points askew, and it can be very detrimental. One, if one is astral traveling, it can knock one clear out of the tether that they have with the body and can cause death. So one needs to be very careful when they are traveling in the astral. If they are in the higher astral and their focus can shift rapidly from, say, one location to another, then they can shift their entire self without regard to the impediments in the way. So it isn't as simple as once you're in the astral, you have to worry about... if you're in the astral, you still have to worry about something, an object in the real world, in the physical world, might interfere with your line of travel and your whole grasp on your light body.
Mm-hmm. John asked about laws of physics. Physics has to do with the material world. Is there a aspect of world in the astral that has different laws attached to it?
Well, one no longer has their physical body once they move into their astral body, and so they have different laws of motion. They can intend themselves somewhere and then be there. It is difficult to walk if you have suddenly passed over and you're in the astral. You may try to walk, but it isn't how you would normally travel in the astral. You would normally travel by intending yourself to a certain location or to some focus you have in your mind from other country even. So travel is much easier when one gets a grasp on how to move one's light body in the astral.
I'm not sure you addressed the question. The question was, like in the physical, we have the law of gravity, okay?
Yes.
We have different laws that describe the way things interact here. Are there laws like that in other dimensions that relate to the nature of that dimension?
Give us a moment. When you are talking in the astral, you are still within the realm of the physical laws. But there are, depending upon your ability to negotiate in the astral, you can levitate, you can fly, but it takes some getting used to, because if you are used to the laws of the physical and definitely walking and being grounded to the ground, you do not think that you could levitate. And so, although there are different laws that apply, you still are focused upon the physical world and are still operating as much as you can according to the physical. I put you back up from your mic.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Mm-hmm. And then he said, what laws of physics are used in heaven?
Well, heaven has similar laws that where you sit at a table, where you walk down a garden, or you are able to meet with other people. So they do have similar gravitational you might call them laws, but they aren't as strict as here in the physical realm, because the angels can fly. There are ways to learn how to negotiate with your much lighter body that can take advantage of not so heavy physical laws.
Thank you. This next question is from Mark Esquera in Long Island.
Yes.
Recently, I have reread portions of the Law of One channelings, and the impression that I got was, while everything is the one infinite creator, everything that we experience on Earth is the result of what Ra calls the primary distortions of the Law of One, or free will.
Yes.
Ra has described our experience as a thick, heavy, dense, and very convincing illusion.
Yes.
It has also been described as an illusion of separation. My question is, if we are aware that everything is the one infinite creator, and also that everything that we experience on Earth in third density is a result of the primary distortion of the Law of One, or free will, how do we reconcile that everything we are experiencing is an illusion, and that everything is the one infinite creator? Thank you.
Thank you. It's like refocusing a camera. You can focus close up and take pictures. You can focus far away and take pictures. You can see the mountains in the distance. you can focus on a flower 10 inches away. It is a matter of focusing. What are you focusing on? If you focus on the separation, the lifetime, the individual experience, then like the shutter goes closed towards the one infinite creator experience, and you can focus in on the individual experience and the individual life and what has happened in your life and the day-to-day things in your life. But the experience that it is illusion, like if you move the shutter a little bit and you begin to see that all is one and these are side by side, these are going on at the same time, and it is a matter of where you focus your lens with which you experience with. Does that make sense?
I think so. I think what Mark is saying is like the Indian concept of Maya, where everything is illusion. You know, one of the questions to ask yourself is that, would you sacrifice the illusion to lose your identity and your experience in this realm? Would you say, I don't want this illusion, let me have the truth? Or are you attached to the illusion? And what's
perhaps
truth?
They are all truth.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask a question, okay? And that is, from my perspective, it seems as if the Wednesday call is losing some impact. Now, maybe it's just me, maybe, but what I find is the same people keep asking questions, and the questions for me are getting more, how would I say it, well, it's just, you know, talk to the Elohim and say what they say. In other words, it's not like, not in all cases, but there's not an urgency for someone to ask the question. It's more like somebody is asking for the phenomena of talking to the Elohim. Now, it's not always true. And sometimes when I put a call out to new people, it adds some really new energy to the call. And I wanted to get you to comment on this.
Thank you. The urgency with which a person has to question have to do with something in their own life and fulfillment in their own life. So each person's experience is unique to them. So a question and answer may impact them that does not impact the other people. So it is hard to make an evaluation and say as a general rule that the questions are getting less deep or they're not being valued as much. It is an individual thing what people are asking. some more new people on the line would help a variation in questions. But we feel that each question is an individual query, and it is something that is individual and unique to that person at that time.
So in other words, from your point of view, it's still relevant doing this call.
Relevant doing the call?
No, relevant.
Yes, it is relevant person to person, depending on the value each person gives it.
Mm-hmm.
It is an individual thing.
Okay. Well, we're out of. Let me see if any questions came in. I think we're out of questions. Okay. And
it is interesting when we answer questions and we tune in to the people in various parts of the country, we get impressions of their location. And for instance, fellow in Long Island, we see lights of the island, but we see there is areas of darkness, particularly where the ocean is. And when we get questions from Livermore, we see that there is some radioactivity being projected someplace in the area. It is a very interesting journey to be able to spot where people are.
Mm-hmm. I should point that out for the people in Livermore. They might want to get a Geiger counter and check out their own location. Because
yes.
Kelly always comments after the calls that I was feeling a lot of radiation in Livermore.
Yes.
So
Somewhere. Yes.
Okay. So we are out of questions for tonight. Maybe I'll ask a couple of questions here that I think might be relevant. Wait a second. Maybe a question came in here.
Hey, Wynn, I asked a second question in there about financial angels. Got through that.
Well, actually, I thought I wasn't going to ask it, but
can I ask another question?
No. Unless you send it to me, okay? John, don't be mad at me.
Yes.
Just send me the question. Just email it right now.
Well, I'm having a problem with email right now. It's not working right now.
Your email's not working?
Well, yeah. It's just it has some network problems right now.
All right.
It's related to what you just asked, though.
Which was that?
like the laws of physics. I know I've seen some entity push someone on a YouTube channel, and I'd like to know how that's even possible, because they're on the other side in the astral, and they literally pushed a woman right over. How can that be possible? Can you tell me what... how laws of physics are that it still applies to the other side, and how come we don't see this more often?
Okay, I asked that.
Sometimes you see apparitions on the highway where somebody has been killed, or they pick up a hitchhiker and the person disappears in the car. People have the ability, even though they're in the astral on the other side, to focus so pointedly that they can begin to have effects in the physical realm and push somebody over or physically create phenomena around people in the physical, even though the light body is on the other side, but they get so solid and so focused that they can begin to interact. There was one question from one person who lived in an apartment complex, and the owner died, and he kept coming and knocking on their door as a ghost, and they would see him looking like the real owner, which he was, knocking on their door. And they would open the door, and he would disappear. They can't keep up the energy to have this manifestation in the physical very long. But if they summon all their focus and awareness and attention on it, they can begin to have effects in the physical the same, similar to what they had when they were alive.
I've seen that happen at least twice. And in my lifetime, and I was wondering, how long can they keep it up? I mean, like just a few seconds, or maybe a minute or two, or do you know how long?
It depends on their focus, their attention, their energy reserve. The brighter they burn, the faster they burn out and can't keep it up.
Mm-hmm. Probably no more than a few minutes, maybe they could keep it up?
Well, it depends upon the individual.
Okay.
We do know beings on the other side can turn on lights, they can push people, they can do all kinds of things, I believe.
Yes.
All right, we got a question here from David Wilkes. And he asks for an update on Nibiru, or Planet X. We've asked questions about that before, and as I recall, it was indicated that it was not going to be a problem. But ask it again.
Thank you. It is an interdimensional planet, so it is a little hard to detect. It is between dimensions. And it, people say that it showed up, that they can see it, but the evidence for it is very thin, and it can have an effect, but we do not see it as a problem.
Is Nibiru connected with the Anunnaki?
Yes, it is. Their asteroid, their world that they put together to travel in.
And are they still traveling in it?
There is some traveling in it.
And when the Anunnaki needed to mine gold, was that for Nibiru?
They wanted gold for the atmosphere of Nibiru to enhance the atmosphere.
Uh-huh. Is Nibiru their home planet, or is that a planet that they adopted?
It is a homemade planet that they travel in.
It's kind of like a cross between a planet and a spaceship.
Yes.
Can they steer it, or does it have its own trajectory?
It pretty much has its own trajectory. They used to be able to steer it better.
Mm-hmm. And how many of the Anunnaki are living on Nibiru?
It varies. They take trips away and back. It can be, we want to say as little as 21 and as many as thousands.
So not that many people, right?
Right.
How did the Anunnaki end up in such a weird situation to be on a moving planet like that? They must have been on some other planet prior to that, yes?
Yes, they did have where they built Nibiru. Did have another world, but they changed and got Nibiru more, tried to make a home of Nibiru so they
mm-hmm.
could have more control over their travel.
Does Nibiru always stay in our solar system?
No, it comes out of it at points.
And it moves into other solar systems or other planetary systems?
It moves out of the solar system into a much colder orbit and then back in.
I see. Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to end this call. And do we have any final comments?
We see that the work you are doing and the work that the people that come into the calls are doing and the attention and the care and the concern is adding to increase the beneficial tones available on the planet. It is very appreciated. You're doing higher work.
Thank you. All right. On that note, we're going to end this call and move over to Whole Planet Healing. And thank you all for being here. If somebody doesn't know how to get to Whole Planet Healing, go to wholeplanethealing.com. And you'll get the phone number there, wholeplanethealing.com.